building God's house. And it's also great to have all the families, children, that is part of church. We will always have them running around, and we welcome them. We welcome everyone just to come together and to worship with us. And we really pray that in our services that we will have encounters with God, because we serve an almighty, a real God, and I will always say it, but that's what I pray for, that's what we pray for real encounters with the Lord. That you and me, that we will hear God speaking to us. He will tell us things. And as I saw coming from the prophetic series, where we just spoke a bit about the prophetic, just God's voice for us, hearing God's voice, how He speaks to us. And it was clear that sometimes, let me say, we want to hear God's voice, but at the same time, some things is just a bit scary. Coming closer to the light reveals some of the darkness. Coming closer to God, we run to the Lord, and then at a certain point, we say, whoa, I just want to time out a bit, and everything is not so great. And I just want to say up front, that is fine. That is fine. God died for us, for sinners. And it's something that often comes up in counseling and just speaking to people, that they run to the Lord and they want to see God, but at the same time they just seek the Lord up to a certain point and then they just stop. It just gets too much, or they just get uncomfortable. We will have a lot of uncomfortable situations. Obviously, we've got our dreams and we've got real fears in our lives. I remember delivering paper, the burger, early mornings. I had a real fear of the guy. Some people, they like to let their dogs go for a walk 5:15 in the morning. It's really dogs that should be behind high walls. They must never come out. So if you come out there with your bicycle, your 50 papers on your back, and the Alsatian is looking at you, then you know it's a real encounter. I remember, I thought I'm okay with dogs. I can remember a lot of times where I look at that dog and it's like, okay, game on. I'm going to go. And then you just know he's looking at you, you're looking at him. You check that you're the right gear, lift the back wheel, change your gears, and you just go. And that dog comes for you. And then it's this time in my life, there, 3 or 4 times where I just shout. As the dog, he just want to jump that last jump. Then I just go, and you just let go everything that's inside of you. Fortunately, the twice that it was necessary, the dog just stopped dead. Turned around, walked away. I said, okay, we understand each other. I was running, cycling through the street here in Goodwood with two, I don't know even what it was. The guy just let it out and he said, yes, let go. And I came past and these two dogs chasing me for blocks. And with the newspaper like this, that's real stuff where you just pray. You don't know if you must pray or eat or shout or whatever, but you feel like you're going to die. But in any case, coming closer to the Lord, I just realized there's real fears that's popping up. Real things, real issues that we have to deal with, that we need to talk about as we seek the Lord. And as a church, we're moving forward. I really sense that God is bringing us in unity. As we see God's face, God is revealing certain things to us moving forward. And we're entering exciting times. There's great times ahead, but we need to be in unity. We need to get real about what's going on in our hearts. Just talk, just ask one another. And this week, I just read through Jonah, and I just quickly want to share a few things about Jonah. We see, often we hear some people, they like to say Jonah's not real, it was just a myth. But we see references to Jonah in different places in the Bible. Already in 2 Kings, where, let's say, he prophesied, he said, this is what the Lord is saying. Later, Jesus also referenced him in Matthew. It's also a reference to Jonah. So Jonah was the prophet, a person, a real guy, like us. But he understood Jesus and he had a relationship with the Lord. But he thought it was just for the Israelites. He had this big thing. It seems to me that he had God figured out in a way. And almost God boxed in and said, this is how I understood God. God came for Israel, and this is it. This is how God works. Every now and then I hear God's voice, primarily for Israel. I will tell the message to the king, and I'll go on. So there was this day there in Jonah 1, verse 1, where the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. So that's God said, arise, go there. He rose, he went another way. I'll show you them. Renette, quickly, just show that map. Just a few slides on. Yes. There you guys will see he went to Joppa at the harbor, planning to go to Tarshish. That's on the left. It's a long way. So he had this idea that he can get away from God, that God is just working there in Israel, and this is where you hear God's voice. That's where the people are. And on the next slide, we will see that Nineveh is actually to the other side, more to the Middle East. So he just went the opposite way. And somehow he thought it's going to be okay. It's very weird. So he went and then he turned around, that we'll read just now, and he came all the way back. So Jonah 1 verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them, away from the presence of the Lord. He had this weird idea. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Perhaps your God will help us. So first we see the word of God coming to Jonah. And now Jonah, he just heard Nineveh. Nineveh was a Syrian city. For about 50 years, it was one of the most powerful cities in the world. And they were the guys that if there's war against Israel, the Syrians, they come from there. That's where they regroup. That was one of their main places from where they attacked. Also in Syria, there was the idol worships. They worship other gods. They had sacrifices. They had prostitution. There's a lot of things going on there that the Israelites heard about or they know. Or he might have felt their attacks. It might have been very real. We don't know. He might have been part of some of those wars fought. He might have even lost things. And it was very close to him. So he understood Nineveh, Assyrians, bad people. I don't want anything to do with them. And in his eyes, he couldn't understand that God would want him to speak to them or take them a word. And it's weird because he was a prophet. He was the guy that heard God's voice. He was obviously, he could discern between God's voice and just a thought or his own thoughts, his own ideas. He had experienced it, he had seen it in action. And just when he heard Nineveh, he decided, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to get away. And for me, it's so funny that he, the man of God, also had this idea that he can run away from God's presence. That he can actually get away. Later on, we will read that where God speaks about Nineveh, it says 120,000 people that doesn't know their right from their left hand. Speaking about children. So in the city was massive. They say 3 days to walk through the city. It was actually a collection of cities around a river. And a massive place. There were hundreds of thousands of people there. Well, 120,000 kids alone. And they rule, and we see it was about in the 700s before Christ. Nineveh was actually in 612 before Christ. There was a divine intervention by God that destroyed the city. And when I read more about Nineveh, it was actually built on a fault line. So I think it must have been very easy for God to wipe them out. Earthquake, gone. On a fault line, so it didn't look good for them anyway from the start. That's just by the way. So now Jonah's on this boat, and the guys talk to him and say, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" And he said, listen to this, he said, John 1 verse 9, he said, "I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." The same Jonah that's got this idea that he can run away from the Lord. It's got this idea that God, he doesn't want to go to the Ninevites. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you've done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. So the other guys, the guys that they worship other gods, when they heard him talking, they said, "Man, what are you doing? You're running away from this God." And I assume as well that they must have heard the God of the Israelites. They know some of the stories, they know the Red Sea, they know things, and they must have thought, if this is real, then we are in big trouble. Because is there anything real about all those things that we've heard, the things, the reports that came through, and you are running away from this God, then this is bad. We need to sort this out. And actually, it amazed me that he was just honest with the guy and said, "Yes, I'm running away from the presence of the Lord. This is what's happening." And eventually they throw him overboard. So there's a guy that wrote a book. I forgot not to write down the name. This, obviously, God intervened and the fish came. And he spent 3 days inside of the fish. It apparently happened to another guy. And they say when he got out, his skin was totally white. From probably the enzymes. And you know when you all those emails about Coke, all the stuff that you can clean in Coke? I think it must have been like that. When Jonah came out of there, he must have looked pretty scary. Maybe no hair and stuff and all slimy. And there's another story that they tell, that there was this thing going around in Nineveh that one day there's a man that's going to come from the sea and he's going to bring us an important message. That was just one of the stories that they told through the years. And that was just amazing for me to think that God used everything, he bringing everything together to save people. He's doing whatever. And when Jonah came out, it says there, when he was in the inside of the fish, then suddenly he said, "I must cry out to the Lord again. I'm in trouble. I probably would have agreed with him that things are not looking good." So he prayed to the Lord. Jonah 2 verse 1. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me." He answered him. And in verse 9, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Listen to this guy. This is a guy that's running away from the Lord, and now he's all for God again. Listen, Lord, how often are we doing these things? And I remember where I had food poisoning, lying there in the bathroom on my back, and I said, Lord, if you ever save me from this, then I will do so much that every day. I will read extra pages of the Bible. Sometimes we make all these things. The only problem is that God remembers it. We go on and we forget all about it. And we are at the point where we almost, you feel like you're going to die, and you just start crying out, and you say, Lord, this is the end. You need to save me. And again, this is what Jonah did. Immediately, he's there, he's crying out, saying, salvation belongs to you, God. You are the Almighty God. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And then immediately, he hears God's voice again. Immediately, God is right there and speaks to him. Say, came to the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So this time, he decided, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right. And he walked in there, and he obviously, he told them the word. That I just imagine that he was not very excited about it. He just walked in, obviously coming from the fish, maybe didn't look so good. And he said, okay, guys, this is it. Do whatever you want with the following word. And he got out of there. And the Bible says he went on top of the hill, he built himself a shelter, and now he's just looking at the city, and he said, I'm going to check how God is going to destroy you. Because you obviously are not going to listen. So you just want to see, he's got the arrogance almost. Just to sit there and see, it's going to be spectacular when God comes down and just wipe you out. So now he's sitting in his waiting. But what we see that the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast in Jonah 3 verse 5. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. The word reached the king. He arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. And in verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from the evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And how often, there's some people that, sometimes when you look at them, you just think, well, I don't know how they're going to get saved. I don't know how it's going to happen. God must intervene or something amazing must happen. But we can't even imagine. And we pray for people, and I believe there's some of those people in our lives that we trust God for. We must continue, we pray for them. And we ask God for, if we can do something, if we can bring a word, whichever way it's going to happen. We've got testimonies in our family praying for people for many, many years. And then they got to know the Lord. They gave their heart to the Lord. And it's so amazing. But it took a lot of time. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's longer. But anyway, I just want to encourage you guys not to lose heart. Here God intervened. This city that was one of the capitals of the Assyrian army, of everything where they operated from. And God intervened there. And within a few days, everyone changed. From the kids straight through to the king. And their hearts turned and God said, I'm going to spare the city. And that is just God's heart for the nations, for people. He's saved. And he showed Jonah amazing thing, that he's not only the God of Israel, he's the God of the world. He wants to save all people. But God was not finished with Jonah. Now he's sitting there on the cliff, just looking, and he's going to see how things are going to happen. But first he gets very angry. When he realizes that they are turning, their hearts are turning, he gets just angry and full of hatred. And again, for me, it is just so, well, I'm just so aware that there's so many things that when I see it, or when I see how sometimes somebody gets blessed or things happen to someone else and not to you, you react in different ways. It's a challenge just to love everyone. Just to love people. And that's something that I pray for that God will do in my heart and in our family, in Lee and the kids, that we can just love people. Because this is something that God showed Jonah here, to actually just to love his enemy. That gift that he was flowing in, the gift of prophecy, telling people what God is saying, he actually had to serve the Gentiles with his gift. He actually had to serve and to go somewhere where he didn't want to go. And for me, it is just talking about new challenges, maybe uncomfortable situations of just being obedient to God. But then also see how God intervene and see mighty things happening. But the great thing, God was busy with the city. It had a heart for Nineveh. He was busy there doing great things. And on the side, God had to deal with Jonah, sitting there on the hill with his shelter. And then, just to show him what's going on in his heart, a tree came up, or a plant, overnight. The plant is there in Jonah 4 verse 6. I'm not sure if this is on the slides, but the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah. So now Jonah was very angry, looking at the city. Suddenly he woke up and there's this plant over his head, bringing nice shade. And it says, and Jonah was very glad. He's exceedingly glad. So now he's very glad. Then God appointed a worm to eat the plant. Then it says, and Jonah was very angry with the Lord. So this guy is an emotional roller coaster. He's got so confused. Then he's angry. Then he's exceedingly glad. Now he's angry again. And God's saying, Jonah, what's on with you, man? You just want to see people getting destroyed. Now there's a plant. You rejoice. Exceedingly glad, says the word. Now there's a worm. Oh, and God appointed an east wind. A nice warm wind. So he got totally roasted there. And he got very, very angry. And Jonah 4 verse 9, God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. Every time you just want to die, you get so angry, say, Lord, take my life. This is the end. This is enough. And then the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night, perished in a day. Should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle. That's just by then, there's a lot of animals as well. And God is saying, Jonah, what? Where are your heart? What are the things that's really important to you? And that was for me the same thing that God is just speaking to me about. What are the things that's important? What's going on in our hearts? This was a man, he was a prophet, he was renowned to be a prophet. Everybody know that God speaks through him. It was clear, the gift of God on his life. And while he was not challenged, I believe while he got words for Israel, everything was great. He was going on, he had his words, and it was great. He got maybe a little bit comfortable. He said, yes, God spoke to me again. I can do this thing. I see it's happening. There's confirmation. It's going well. And he probably thought that he's trusting God. He's in a good place of the Lord. And he was just running. And then just one word for Gentile city. One word for Nineveh. Just exposed his heart and he said, whoa, whoa. I'm going to run away. I'm just going to go. And I think this is one of the things that we must, as you spend time with the Lord, as we get closer to God, just ask God, Lord, reveal to me what's in my heart. Obviously, if we are prepared to see. it might not be so nice to see what's really in our hearts. But God is gracious, and I believe He will just do it little by little by little by little. And then according to that, we work through the stuff. According to that, we deal with things through God's grace. Because God was dealing on the one side of Nineveh, the hundreds of thousands of people, and at the same time, He's busy with Jonah. At the same time, He's doing these things, showing Jonah what's going on. The great thing about Jonah, I must say, is that he was real with God. He said, "Lord, I'm angry now." And I said, "No, I want to run away." He paid for his own, he paid for the ship. He didn't take chances or undercover or try to maneuver. He was just out open. "I'll give money. I'll take the boat. I'm going to go." And then he said, "Lord, just kill me. Lord, I'm angry." So he was almost wrestling with the Lord, working it out. Obviously, God gave him a bit of a hiding there under the tree. But at least he was there. I think sometimes we tend to we almost feel that we can't say anything. We almost feel that we can't go to God with certain things. We feel that I can say about this and this and this, but yo, this thing is just too bad, or this is a big struggle, or I just want to hide it a bit. I want to encourage us just to go with everything. Just go to God with everything. And we work it through and we work it out. Okay, maybe you'll get a pitch on the side. But then we must run with that. That's where we come in. That's family come in. Say, "Guys, help me. I'm struggling with this thing. Help me out here. Well, I've been following the Lord. I've believed this to be right. And now suddenly I'm challenged in this area. Help me with this." And embrace the Lord. And also some of us, what I feel like sometimes we just want to run away. We actually, in intercession, it was one of the words that came up even while we were going through the prophetic series, just talking about knowing God's voice, getting closer to God. We realize that sometimes it's very uncomfortable to get very close to God. It's a great place on the one side, but can also be uncomfortable. As we get closer to it's almost like a fire. We all braai. Well, I believe we all braai. You make your burnt offering. So you like the fire is nice and warm. As you get closer and closer to the fire, there's a certain point that it's really hot. This nice fire that braais the choppy and brings all the good stuff. There's also the same fire that's really hot that can burn you. And it's not a good picture, but it just tells me something that coming closer to the Lord, obviously God is not going to burn us and things, but there's a certain discomfort that sometimes comes. But we must just press through. We must just go closer and say, "Lord, show me, help me. What is on your heart for me?" And even in the time that we're going in, we pray a lot about, "Lord, show us strategy for the area. Show us strategy for how to reach the people in Century City and the surrounding areas." And maybe God is going to tell us something that we don't like. When we hear it, you say, "Lord, I'll do that and that and that and not this thing." We might get challenged. And that's actually what I believe is why I'm talking about Jonah today. Because as we see God's face, as we get closer, well, just spend more time and spend time in His presence, that some things that He's going to tell us might be uncomfortable. We might not like everything. But as we walk with Him, that is going to be the most rewarding place to be. That is where we're going to feel or experience true fulfillment in God's presence. And I want to encourage you, I know sometimes there's certain areas of our lives that we just want to almost run away from that. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to go there. It's the time is coming where we just need to bring out everything. That we need to discuss everything, pray together. And talk about, just be real with one another, be real with God. Be real with God, where we're going. Amen. I just want to, I'm going to end off, and just a few things that I would like to, the band can actually just go forward. I just want us to sing a God is Faithful again. But today I want you to think maybe there's something that you are running away from, a certain situation, certain area of your life. Then as we worship, we're just going to have a moment where we just pray, just by yourself, you just pray about those things. Maybe it's something that say, Lord, I don't want to talk about this and this. I'm all right with the rest. And for some, I feel like it's a time where we're going. It's maybe a time for you personally, where God is just calling you and say, come back. Come back to me. I want to take you to a new place. I want to take you to something new, something fresh, something amazing. But come back to me. Come back to the safe place. And don't make your own plans. Where Jonah was sitting there, he went out, obviously the sun was hot, he built his own shelter, he tried to do all these things to be comfortable. God is the one where we want to seek. God is the one where we reach out to God, and He will intervene. You can just all stand with me, please. And something I work through is just at heart for people. Yeah, it's easy to love you guys. We pray for you regularly. We love you, and yeah, it's easy to follow the Lord. But there's a lot of people. And to have a real heart for people is not something, it doesn't just come naturally. So that's something that we must pray for. And as we worship, maybe some of the things, maybe you're running away, maybe there's something, area of your life, you must draw closer to God, or just that love for people. Just one of those things, just think about it, pray about it. But let's just first worship the Lord.